Good morning. This morning we have two readings, Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 10, and Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 5. We as mistreated and maligned Christians can meekly wait because we know that Jesus will give us a new heaven and a new earth when he returns in glory. Isaiah writes, "Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout with joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become like a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in the way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." This concludes this one. We'll go now to Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 5. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." This concludes the reading. You may sit down.
Pete evidently had a cyst on his back that was inflamed and causing him some discomfort. And he said that neither his physician nor Melissa was impressed with his argument that he'd be able to have it handled and preached on Sunday. So he asked if I would fill in for him. And he was a little leery because it was somewhat later than he would like to make the request. And I told him, actually, my Bible reading had been taking me through Matthew, which is what he's been doing, and I had been really impressed once again. Is this me? I'd been really impressed once again with the answer that Jesus gives to John's disciples in the reading that was just read. But I'm going to back up a little bit. So roughly 740 years-ish before Jesus was born, Isaiah was preaching to the northern and the southern kingdoms of Israel and telling them that disaster was going to befall them, that the Assyrians were going to overrun them. He berated the Israelites for trusting in foreign powers, in their false idols. But at the same time that that Isaiah was preaching against the people of Israel and calling for repentance, God gave Isaiah a vision of the future that would be God's redemption. And it was read earlier. I'm just going to read a couple of verses again. At that time, the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. And probably after a few decades of war coming at the people of Israel from the east, and the Assyrians knocking over the northern kingdom entirely, probably hearing those sorts of words of a great future just left the people of Israel to say, as if, or, oh, what a day, that would be great. So 750 years later-ish, 760 years later, John the Baptist comes on the scene. He too calls the people of Israel to repentance. His words aren't particularly kind. He was wildly popular, even though he would greet the people who were coming out to see him by saying, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance," and so on. And at the same time that John was calling the people to repentance, he too was given by God a vision of the future. "There will be one," John said, "who comes after me, who will be filled with the Holy Spirit and will gather together the people of God." And then we know that Jesus met John, and at the baptism, the whole Trinity made their first appearance together, as far as we could tell. The Father from the clouds speaking down, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, and the Son of God coming up from the waters of baptism. And at that point, Jesus and John separated. And we know that John kept on his ministry because he ends up in jail for preaching repentance not only to the common people, but also to his king, who was carrying on a public affair with his brother's wife. And rather than having that being trumpeted in the streets of Jerusalem, Herod had John thrown in jail. But he kept getting reports of what Jesus was doing. And we know that Jesus, too, was still carrying on a ministry of repentance. He was telling people, like in the Sermon on the Mount, "You've heard it said, don't murder, but I tell you, even if you hate someone, you'll be guilty of that. That lust is as bad as adultery in the eyes of God. Repent," Jesus was saying. And so John, whether for his own benefit or whether for the benefit of his disciples, sends some of them to Jesus to say, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another?" Jesus, well, it's a great question, I think, that Jesus thought. And rather than saying, like the prophet Isaiah had said, "There will become a time in the future when great things will happen," and rather than saying, like John had said, "There's one coming after me," Jesus instead does not resort to the future tense. He resorts to the present tense. "Look around you," he tells John's disciples. "What do you see? The sick are healed. The lepers are cleansed. The dead are raised. The blind receive their sight." Throughout history, God's prophets had been looking forward to a great future. Jesus instead points at the present. "Look what I'm doing now. Go back and tell John what you see and hear." And all the disciples, certainly John, but certainly his disciples too, knew the prophecy of Isaiah, knew that at that day that the blind would receive their sight and the lame would walk. And what Jesus is saying is, the present is here. And to a good question, Jesus gave a good answer, not because it was only appropriate, but because it was filled with good things. the sort of things that I bet we would love to see in our time. Those we know who are sick to become healed. Those we know to become, who have physical infirmities to be released from them. Those who are downtrodden to hear good news. That's the ministry of Jesus. Not only to call people to repentance, and he did that, but to go beyond repentance, to bringing good things here and now. And that's a Christian ministry. It's easy for anybody to tell someone else how they don't stack up. In fact, the whole world does that. You don't even need a God to be able to tell people how to stack up, how to get your life right, how to make things better for yourself. A Christian ministry says, look around. What do you see? I couldn't have timed, where'd she go? I couldn't have timed Judy's his story better than today, because that's what she was saying. Hey, I want to tell you, look around and look what you see. We see foster parents who are sometimes hopeless for getting help, saying, what a great place, I can come here. And other folks who get up here to this podium and say the same thing, you know, God was in my life in this way when I traveled to China, or when I helped out, or when I was cured, or when I was brought through a deep problem. So when someone comes into our midst, this is the question we ask. Do they see only a ministry of repentance? Do they see only how they don't stack up, how they aren't dressed right, how they don't have the right words to describe what's going on, how they don't understand all the people and how they're related? Or do people see good things? I can't go around to each one of you right now, and I'm going to have the worship team come up here, if they would. But let me just tell you some really good things, and I hope this helps some. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus has risen from the dead and lives for you. Jesus has put you into this community for you. And if you have a chance today to thank God for the good that you see, do that. And if you have a chance today to do good for others, do that. That is a Christian ministry. That is what Jesus wants us to know when people look around and say, are you guys the ones? Are you the ones who know God? So that you can say, look around. See all the good that we do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.